This is Forrest Elise interviewing Kristen LaRue Sandler for Creative Push Project at 3:20. I can't retain it. On August 15th. Okay, let's go ahead and get started. All right, so why don't you take me to, like, set me up the circumstance of the first birth.
Okay.
And if there's anything kind of memorable about it, or, like, something that would situate us in time, mm-hmm. if it was a hot summer or
okay.
whatever.
Okay, got it. So, my first child, easy pregnancy, I was very healthy, and I remember thinking, gosh, why does everyone complain about being pregnant? This is so not a big deal. And, which I would later, with later pregnancies, find out, oh, right. But anyway, so I was in my early 30s, so this is November, beautiful weather, not hot, and I actually was even doing a musical theater show about 4 weeks before my due date, doing dancing. So I was, it was just, I don't even know, it was a completely different time in my life. We did a series of classes about natural birth, because I was very committed to doing this. Yeah, very holistic. I didn't want to do the tub. I considered it, but there weren't the facilities, and I did want to go to a hospital in case whatever. I did use a midwife, and it took me a while to find someone I liked, but then I did, and she was amazing. My water broke in the night. It was actually past my due date. I had gained 50 pounds, so I was pretty miserable by that point, but up to then, no problems. So I immediately went into really hard contractions, 0 to 60 in within like 15 minutes. And what happened is I got up to go to the bathroom and all of a sudden was like, whoa, okay, here this is. So I ran and somehow, I don't know if I jumped, I don't know. But anyway, I made it to the bathroom before everything came out. So it was all over the floor. And I remember just being like, okay, here we go. This is it. And my husband was sleeping, and I remember having, it was like 2 a.m. And I remember just saying, hey, because I didn't want to walk over there. It was all drippy. And I was like, wake up. He was sort of like, ugh. Anyway, finally got him to wake up. And then he jumped up and was all ready and immediately started dutifully writing down all the times that everything, every contraction, which was super annoying because I just wanted him to just focus. Anyway, so I got in the shower. I don't know why. I was just like, I have to take a shower. I guess I wanted to be clean. I don't know. So then my parents had flown in the day before to be there. And so went and woke them up, went to the hospital. At some point, we let the midwife know. Anyway, got there. I was just, the contractions were really close together. Very, very hard. I couldn't speak during them. I vomited. And I was like, oh, I'm probably in transition. This is intense. And so they checked me out, and I was at like 2 or something. And I was like, you're kidding me. So anyway, fast forward a couple of miserable hours. So it was probably like 9 a.m. And I was so miserable. And I was still like contractions one on top of the other, so close together. I was at like 5 centimeters or something. And I could not do the breathing thing. I had not internalized what that meant. And, I would just hold my breath during every contraction. And I was doing these contortion things with my body. So every muscle was already just hurting. And they kept saying, Kristen, relax. And I was just like, you guys relax. This sucks. So let's see. So eventually, so about 9 a.m., I was so desperate. And I was so exhausted already. And I was not making any progress. And I think, I don't remember all the details about effacement and whatever, but there was some stuff where one side was doing its thing and the other side was hung up. And so it just, I was fighting my body was fighting me. And I just said, I think I want some drugs. I think I want something. And so this natural birthing method that I had done had encouraged the spouse or the partner to talk you out of asking for medication. And so he did. He's like, it's going to harm the baby, you know, they do all this stuff, the baby's going to be a drug user, you know, all this guilt. And I was so racked with indecision, and I was so miserable, and I was so angry. And finally, one of the nurses grabbed my face and said, this is your decision. And she's like, look in my eyes. Because I was like, ah. And I said, okay, give me the drugs. And so they did. So I got my epidural, and then everything was okay. In the meantime, though, my husband left. I don't know where he went. He was just so angry. And I was so hurt and felt abandoned. And I could not believe that decision made him leave. And I think I never forgot that, actually. We had a lot of other issues in our marriage, obviously, which I can talk about later. But that was a big one. And my mom stayed, but couldn't believe that he had left. And anyway, so the rest of the labor progressed fine. Me having an epidural actually enabled me to relax, and things started moving again. And so yeah, it took a little bit longer, first baby, and then probably because I was relaxed, I think they had to give me Pitocin. Yeah, they did. But things went normal, and then they did let the epidural kind of wear down. So I was pretty well feeling everything by the time it came to push. And at some point, I was almost ready to push, but not quite. And so my midwife, who was managing another birth at another hospital, said, you know what? We're just going to let you labor down. I'm going to go run to this other hospital because this girl's ready to go. So she did. She left. And I don't know how she was gone, how long she was gone. I mean, it could have been an hour, it could have been 2 hours, it could have been 45 minutes, I don't know. But it was the longest period of time ever. Because I mean, I was ready, but I was just kind of still, you know. But then I finally started to learn this, the breathing and that kind of place that you have to go to sort of get through. And it's just that deep inside place. Sorry, now I'm getting emotional. But so she got back, and I think I pushed just a couple times, head out. She's like, okay, we got it, you know, we've got a blonde baby, okay, just one more push, we'll get the shoulders out. And then the baby got stuck. Her shoulders were wedged in my pelvis somehow. And at that point, I was so just spent and just ready to be done. And she had said, one more push. So I was like, what? So all of a sudden the midwife shouts, like, McRoberts maneuver. It's some special thing where you do this series of jury-rigging the baby to get the baby out so you don't have to do forceps or, you know, any of the other crazy things. And so literally the nurses jumped on the bed with me, and they're like, close your legs. So I was like, what? And so one started pushing on my belly. I don't know what the other ones were doing. That was the one I was really conscious of. But then they all knew what to do. And so I was conscious of the midwife doing all this stuff down there. And then all of a sudden, she's like, okay, she's out. And then I could hear in her voice a sort of kind of almost a panic, like, okay, she needs a little help. Okay, we might have hurt her shoulder. All right. So I was slightly worried, but I had this sort of knowledge that it would be okay and that she was okay. And maybe I was just so relieved to have her out. I don't know. But she did start breathing just right after that. They were about ready to go do something because she took a while to breathe. And then they were worried about her shoulder since that they had yanked on it. And it was totally fine. She started moving it, and that was fine. And I do remember when they put her on my belly, and she looked at me, and there was just this knowing in her eyes. I mean, her eyes were open. They weren't that, like, newborn-y. thing where they're all caked together and whatever. She just looked at me and I said, oh, hello. I mean, it was this person, not just this little blabby thing. And she was 8 pounds, 6 ounces or something. So she was pretty good sized, ready to be there and ready to join the world. So the hardest part about that, except the whole trauma with trying to decide about medicine, was then the postpartum period. I had focused so much on the birth. You know, I'd done all of those classes. I sort of forgot, or not forgot, but I didn't know how hard it would be to then bring a baby into my life, in my home, and change everything. That was one of the bigger transitions for me, was I wanted to run away for 3 weeks. And I remember thinking, I could just leave her with my husband. Yeah, they'd be okay. Yeah. And I didn't. It was sort of this back door that I kind of was like, okay, I have that if I can't do this. But it was very, very much like that in the sleep deprivation and just nursing. I did not go well for me. And I ended up pumping for like 6 months, but I stopped having her at the breast in a couple of weeks because it was just torture. But anyway, eventually recovered, and for quite a while I said, I'm never doing that again. I'm never, ever having any more children. That was so traumatic, and I really thought I wasn't going to live through it. In the middle of it, I thought, I just want to die. Just, I don't care, cut me open. Just was not prepared for that, the pain and that sense of, you are the only one who can do this. No one can, you know, unless you have a C-section, no one can help you. You have to push this baby out. And that was a huge thing for me. I didn't feel powerful afterwards. I felt sort of ashamed of my asking for drugs, my sort of inability to, like, I wouldn't say we didn't bond, I think we did, but just my resentment of, oh my God, I have this baby and I just want to go to the store by myself, you know, or go to the bathroom without worrying, and just, and that sense of I'm so tired of worrying about this other creature. I don't know if you read one of the poems that I sent you, talked about just this new place in your mind or your heart that just sort of aches. At least that's how I experienced it. Of maybe it's, you know, how people say, you always worry about your children. And I didn't want to worry about anyone else, you know. But eventually, one day, I remember stepping outside and going for a walk with the baby and thinking, okay, I can do this. And I accepting, I guess, accepting that the fact that there was this human being who was dependent on me, and I was going to have that ache, and I would be okay. And then it lessened, and, you know, I was way less anxious as time wore on. But I think it took accepting it first before it could become anything beautiful or anything to bear. So
that was beautiful. That was definitely one gorgeous.
Yeah,
I would separate that out. That was an incredible story.
A beautiful ending.
Such an
too.
Incredible wow.
Thank
storyteller.
Thank you. I guess mean, that's why you have the queen.
Really incredible.
Thank
wow.
you. Thank you.
You really laid bare so many things that I think that women go through and that we don't talk about. I mean, I was
no.
so. I mean, and when I told my story too, I was saying that I felt like enslaved. You know, I just, you know, when my husband could poop when he went to
right.
the shower, when he went to
right.
run out of the house and do things, and I just felt like, why are you autonomous still, and now I'm like
right.
a slave to this other creature,
right.
and emotionally too.
Yeah,
like
right.
I would take a minute to myself to go to a store, And then I would call and be like, how's it going? Right. I would hear the baby crying in the background. I would just start weeping and feel like, I can't even just enjoy this.
Right, right. You know? The thing you've been craving and been like, this is what I want to do. Yeah. And then
I can't even just enjoy that few minutes. Yeah. Because you're like tethered, you know. No, it's so true. And I cannot believe your husband left.
I know.
Did he ever come back?
Yeah, he did. He did come back. I don't know. I don't remember how long he was gone.
Did you say, like, get the fuck out of here? I would have been so angry.
I was, but I was so focused at that point that I just sort of shut down and I shut him out. And my mom was there. And I do remember describing, he's like, you wouldn't listen to me during the labor.
It's like, you wouldn't listen to me.
Exactly, yeah. But I remember saying, you know what? I couldn't hear you. All I could hear was my mom's voice. It was something very primal. It was something so comforting to me. Oh my God, I'm so emotional. Sorry. but it was something very, very primal. And it's what I needed to get through. And I knew she'd done it, you know, with three children. And so, yeah. So I didn't listen to him. I couldn't. And it was okay.
Yeah. Were you able to forgive him, or did it?
No, I don't think I ever did, because I don't think he ever really got it. And we eventually got divorced for the same kind of reason. I mean, it all went to the same thing that he can't separate out his own stuff from. And a control thing, and it's a power thing. It's whatever. We're friends now. It's fine. We were just not good spouses. And it becomes clearer to me. He's even happier now that we're divorced, even though he didn't want to get divorced. And every day says, you know, he regrets everything. But I know it was the right thing. And I feel like that was a moment that I really saw what it was about. And it's hard to articulate even what that even means, but anyway. Yeah. So my second, I was describing, I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Ashley. Okay. Take a minute.
Yeah, okay.
Take time.
Okay.
Water. Yeah, we're in like no hurry. Yeah. Take time.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I mean, you know, in a relationship that clearly is a complicated thing, but you could see how that's like a marker.
Yeah, know,
someone
right.
Who's not, you guys aren't communicating. And
no.
He's not respecting your needs.
He was not up to the task of being the man. I mean, it's like he wanted to be in there giving birth. And you know, I think there's all that could deconstruct him or psychoanalyze him, but he never could really step up to that place. We fought over things that in my brain were like, he was wanting to be the mother all the time. And I was like, I'm the mother. You go be the man. I get to do this part, you know? And so he always wanted to control the stuff that I was supposed to be doing. And that was just sort of a symptom of it.
Was he controlling the breastfeeding?
I mean, and he was trying to be supportive, and he was very sweet sometimes, but it was more like, if he could have done it, he would have.
Well, that's the easiest way to control something.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Just take it over.
Just, yep, and he absolutely would have if he could have, and I probably would have let him. But,
you know, the poem is gorgeous. I think that we could somehow tie the poem into a visual art piece too, with your permission.
Oh yeah, so. Whatever. Like I said, I never published it, and I don't think I'm even gonna shop it around.
Text in art, you know, like
phrases. Yeah, we can probably find. I know an
Someone
artist.
Who uses
I know a
text.
Local artist that uses a lot of text in her paint. Dina, have you ever heard of Kay Spear?
Mm-mm.
Anyway,
okay.
I'll just make a note.
Pull up her work for me. I'd love to see it. Yeah, that'd be great. Be like
okay,
a, you know, collaborative piece almost.
That would be wonderful. Whatever you need. So.
Wow, that was really intense. So how old is your daughter now?
She is seven. Yeah. Do you want to hear about the second?
Yeah.
So,
And you can kind of start fresh
okay.
with it too, you know. This is a new marriage.
This is still the other marriage. Yes. Still the same marriage. We were separated at this point. After we went through some periods of infidelity, both of us. And at some point separated, but we're still living in the same house just until we could figure out how we were moving forward. We had our little girl.
Can you for a minute, can you say my husband and I?
My husband and I. Okay.
That's the works. I think Ashley can cut that and put it in the front.
Okay. Okay. So my husband and I were separated. And so I had filed for divorce. We were just waiting for that whole process, and I actually had a date this night, and I had a lot of wine to drink, and it's just, I'll try to sum it up. Basically, this guy wasn't as interested in me as I was in him, and I just remember thinking, what? I'm not sure why. Why I thought, I don't know, I was so desirable, but anyway. So I was sort of feeling miffed, and apparently I was ovulating. And I don't know if you want any of this in there, but so I went home. I was a little tipsy. My husband was already in bed. Baby was in bed. She wasn't a baby by then. She was 3. And I crawled in bed with him. And we had a wonderful time. And we hadn't been together for 6 months. So then the next day, it was sort of like, oh my God, what did we do? He was all really happy. He thought it meant we were getting back together. I was like, well, that was a mistake. So that was that. And then a few weeks went by, and I just knew. I knew I was pregnant. And I took an early test. It was pretty early. I mean, I think it was like 4 weeks. And, you know, the pink line was there. And I was just like, no, are you kidding me? So I called a friend and just said, I'm in trouble. And so she invited me over for dinner. She's a single woman and a teacher, and she didn't have anything going on anyway, and so I went over to her house, and we had this beautiful dinner from her garden, I remember. And I just felt like there was so much fertility, like the earth, and all, everything sort of came together, and she's like, I think you're going to have this kid. And she said, and I knew that she had had an abortion, which is part of the reason that I went to talk to her. Because I was like, I don't think I can do this. This is a mess. And she said, you know, yes, I did that, but I don't think it was the right decision for me. And she's like, and I know you, and I don't think it's the right decision for you. But you have to decide, but just know. And I didn't know. I knew that I couldn't end the pregnancy, no matter how inconvenient it was. So I finally told my husband at the time, and so he begged me to keep it, and I said, I think I am. I don't know, this is complicated. He's like, even if we're not together, I'll take care of it. And I was like, that's ridiculous. But it was that same sort of motherly role that he always wanted to take on. And so I decided to go ahead with the pregnancy, and made my appointment with the same midwife that I had for my first daughter, who was gonna just soon to turn 4. And so we went, and since I was older, I was 39, And I was spotting a little bit. They said, let's just do an ultrasound, make sure everything's viable. And this was at like 9 weeks. And so we're in the ultrasound, and I did see these two little white dots on the screen, and I was just thinking, oh, maybe that's the placenta, or I don't know. And they're kind of like waving around. And then she says, there are two babies in here. And I remember thinking, no, that's not possible. And then she's like, yep, there are two babies in here. And then my husband just started laughing. He's like, I knew it. And I said, how did you know it? But he thinks when things are ironic that he has some foreknowledge. But that's obviously not the same thing. But so twins. So the pregnancy was actually really uncomplicated. I had about a million ultrasounds just because, again, I was older and there were twins. And everything was fine, perfect. And I made all these plans because I had a couple of other friends who had twins, and they were on bed rest for several months or had all these issues and ended up having a cesarean. And so my mom came out early and I started working from home several months before my due date even, which was probably a good thing because I could hardly even move. Just with between how gigantic my belly was and just the swelling, I had carpal tunnel syndrome, I had cankles, like crazy. I remember sitting on the stairs one day, and I guess I just sunk into my hips, but they locked and I couldn't get up. Needed help. I felt like one of those morbidly obese people that they have to move around with a crane. I could not move. It was terrible. I had hemorrhoids. I really started to feel for people who are either sort of bedridden or in chronic pain, because I was such a bitch, and I was so miserable, and I was like, I'm not a good patient. I would not be one of those people who overcame their physical limitations. I would just be a jerk. So, but the pregnancy continued and was fine. And I kept asking, are you going to put me on bed rest? I just wanted an excuse to stay in bed. And they're like, no, you need to be moving around and you're doing great. So, they require you to visit a couple of the doctors in this practice. I was seeing the midwife again, and just because there's a chance that you might have a C-section. And so I did, and one of the doctors actually recommended that I schedule a C-section. She said, you know, even if you're able to do the first, a lot of times that second baby is so hard to just push out, or if they're breech or whatever, then you have to go through labor and have a C-section. Which sounded very scary to me, but so then I thought, oh gosh, maybe, of course, this is what people do, I guess. So I went back to my midwife, and she said, no, you can do this. She was Welsh, and when I first started seeing this, it was actually a second midwife in the practice. When I first started seeing her, I couldn't understand a word she said. Her accent was just crazy. And then all of a sudden, it was like one day, I just got it. And she's the kind that just says, ah, for fuck's sake, and all this. She just swears like a sailor. She's hilarious, and she's no nonsense. So she's like, no, you can do it. You can push him out. And she's sort of like, anything else? It was just not even a discussion. So I said, okay. So got to full term, and finally it was 39 weeks. Full time for twins, I think they consider like 36 weeks. And apparently there's some magical, miraculous thing that goes on where twins' lungs mature faster than a normal or single pregnancy because they're so often born early. It's this really amazing, wonderful thing. So anyway, so I got to 39 weeks and I just said, I just can't, I'm done. I can't do this. I can't walk. I can't go to the bathroom, you know? And so they scheduled me for an induction, and, I was already, it was a couple centimeters dilated already. And so they did a prostaglandin thing And they said, this is gentler, and then we don't have to do Pitocin, and it should just get you started, and then you'll be good to go. If it doesn't, we'll go a little more. So,
was it inserted into your vagina?
Inserted, yeah. And which was very painful. I just thought it would be like a tampon. But they're like fishing around in there, hooking onto something. I was like, oh my God. It was the worst part of the entire birth, was that. And so we went in. This was at like 1 a.m. We'd gone in at 11 and did all this stuff. And so my husband was there. My mom was there again. And so then they said, okay, you know, get some sleep while this thing works. They had done one more ultrasound to make sure both babies were head down, and they were. So there we were. So my mom and my husband went to sleep on this. They had some couches in there, this really large room. And so there I was, wide awake. Of course I can't go to sleep. And the contractions started right away, but in a gentler way. But they were there. And so it's like 2 or 3 a.m. And I just started texting people. I don't know what I was thinking. I turn my phone off at night, but other people don't. So I have this guy friend who was awake, or I awakened. I'm like, hey, I'm in labor. Everyone else is asleep. He's like, okay, I'll keep you company. So we just texted back and forth for a few hours. And we're still friends. Never forgot, you know. He was the only one awake with me while I was in labor. So eventually, I had to go to the bathroom, and I was like, okay, this is happening. And so I did, and then I could hardly walk back to the bed and woke everybody up and said, okay. And the nurse came in and said, I guess your water already broke, and here we go. So at this particular facility, they require you to give birth to twins in the operating room in case you need to have an emergency C-section. And I was already planning an epidural anyway. Because of my first experience, I thought, I'm not gonna mess around. Let's just do this. And that's what they recommend anyway, so that they can just do what they need if there's an emergency. So I had to wait. That the anesthesiologist was busy with someone, and of course it seemed like 2 hours. It was probably 10 minutes or something. But so I had to labor, you know, without drugs for a little while again, and it was hard labor. Sort of, the midwife said it was literally off the chart, so it was pretty hard contractions. I mean, here's this giant uterus, you know, and has to shove out two babies. Of course it was massive. But that was, I think, you know, my first time not just being completely undone by the process of labor. And I remember the end of my first delivery, where I had found that place. And so I went there again. And it sucked. But I was there. And then finally the anesthesiologist came in and got my epidural. And then I felt great, and everything went very quickly and rolled me into the operating room. But my mom couldn't come, only one person, and my husband had to suit up in scrubs. And but since it had taken a while for me to get the epidural, the midwife said, do you want something else? I can give you something else to help take the edge off. And I was like, yes, this is crazy. And so I don't even know what they gave me. Gave me some narcotic, probably. But oh my gosh, between that and the epidural, I was so loopy. So I just remember getting ready to be like, okay, I have to push. And I was so sleepy that I could hardly keep my eyes open as I was pushing. It was crazy. But so first baby was out in like 5 minutes. Her name's Annika. And the other baby was way up by my ribs and on my left side. And so they said, Jamie, that's my husband's name, just push her over and just then push down on her. So I could see, so I had this half floppy belly and then this taut portion over here. And so they pushed her over and started pushing her down because, you know, she she'd been up here the whole pregnancy. Well, my other baby was down here ready to come out. So she took an hour. So I had an hour of pushing with her, just trying to get her to where she was supposed to be. Everything was already stretched out and crazy. But I do remember after the first baby came out, just got to hold her and be like, oh my gosh, she's so beautiful. And she looks different than my first baby. This is whatever. And then they're like, okay, hand her over. Got to do this again. And I couldn't even believe it. It was just too insane. And so, but again, I'm so loopy. It's probably good, because otherwise my brain would have just exploded with non-comprehension. So finally got her pushed out. She was great. So they had told us they would be identical twins, but when they first came out, they were completely different colors from each other. My first baby was very red. The second baby was very pale. And they seemed to have different hair colors. Now they don't, and everything's identical. But I thought, well, they were wrong. They are not identical. They were in the same, they had the one placenta, the same chorion, which is apparently the outer, like an outer sac, but then two different amniotic sacs. So that's how they can kind of tell if they're going to be fraternal, identical. However, the placenta can fuse. Fraternal twins always have two placentas, but they can fuse, so sometimes it's confusing. Anyway, it had led them to believe identical. So I was confused how they could look so much different. Bridget, my second twin, was a little sleepier, and she needed a little more... they had to feed her something to kind of get her going. She wasn't quite as... I don't even know what their Apgar scores were, and I just was glad that they were there and out. The placenta was gigantic. I think we took a picture of it. It's like the size of a whole other baby. It's crazy. But I had to feed two babies for 9 months. So about that experience, the thing that I kept being amazed by was just what the body can do. I mean, one baby I felt like almost broke me. And then I had two, and because they were not my first, it was easier. My body knew what to do. I was a little looser everywhere. But I also had been through so much, and I knew myself better. And I, being able to do that, being able to push them both out, convinced me of just this sort of power of womanhood and of the female body that is just completely mind-blowing at what the body can do and what women can do and have been doing without drugs for millennia. And, I get a little help from drugs, and that makes it even better. So my mom this whole time had been waiting, cause she couldn't come in, and she was crying, and at this hospital they played, little chimes every time a baby was born. So she heard the first set of chimes right after I went in, and then nothing for an hour. And she thought I had been taken in for an emergency C-section. And so then finally she hears this other set of chimes, and then they finally... I forgot to have someone go tell her. So finally someone remembered, your mom was here. She probably wants to know. So they went out and told her, and she was so relieved. And then they wheeled me out, and then recovery was even easier than my first baby. Once I got through, like, just a couple of first days of my belly being so gigantic, I had to kind of hold it up. And I remember standing in the bathroom in my beautiful hospital gown, sneezing. And I almost fell over, because you know how your muscles contract as you do that. Well, my muscles were out here, and and they contracted, and I just almost fell over, and I had to grab onto something when I was sneezing. And I thought, well, there's that.
So how much weight did you gain with the twins?
With the twins, I gained 60 pounds. With my first, I gained 50. So it wasn't... that much different. But the twins were over 6 pounds each. So they were about 6.5 each. So that's 13 pounds of baby plus whatever the giant placenta weighed, plus all the water weight. And it all fell off very quickly. I think I lost 40 pounds in 3 weeks. So it was just total water.
She must have had a lot of loose.
Oh my, so much. My belly is destroyed to this, destroyed. And I've since learned they call it twin skin. And so, I showed one of my friends who also knows someone with twins, and I showed her and she said, it really is like a deflated balloon, because that's what it looks like. It looks like the surface of the moon or a balloon that's just had all the air taken out of it, and it's all lumpy, and it's so strange. So I felt really strong and amazing after that, probably because of how hard the pregnancy had been. And I guess I should have mentioned that at some point during the early pregnancy, my husband and I decided to make a go of it with the marriage. And I actually had emailed the man who was preparing our divorce papers and said, okay, just throw them away. we're going to try again. I'm pregnant with twins, and we're gonna see. And he wrote back the sweetest note, something like, you know, well, I think, he's like, I don't believe in God, but someone's trying to tell you something. It was a very sweet, very sweet thing. So we stayed married, and he was very helpful, and there was no temper tantrums in the delivery room. And I remember telling him that day just how proud I was of him, and he did learn a lot after after the first experience. And then I don't know, do you want me to talk about the next one?
Yeah, you kind can of, maybe even talk about how the marriage shifted
time.
And
Yeah,
take a break.
Okay.
Here, I'll get you
more. Okay, water. Thank you.
Yes.
So, when the twins were about 8 months old, keep in mind we had been sleep deprived for almost that entire time. We had a sleep trainer come in, and that was helpful for about a month. She would just come twice a week, so we got uninterrupted sleep two nights a week. The rest of the time was literally up someone every 2 hours. There were two babies who were not good sleepers, and they both had reflux. And, you know, they were, even though they were full term and good size for twins, they were still very little. And the sleep trainer said they actually kind of acted like preemies. They had a little harder time eating. I gave up on breastfeeding after 2 months with them, and pumping too. I couldn't even find time to pump between just trying to feed them and take care of my other little girl. And I do work full time, so I went back to work actually as soon as I could, because I felt like I was going insane. I just needed a break. So life got back to somewhat normal. So the twins were 8 months old, or this is the new normal, you know. They're still not sleeping through the night, but we at least kind of have a routine. And my husband tells me one day that he's been having an affair and was going to leave. And for the first time in the marriage, it totally blindsided me. The other times I had seen it coming, or I had gone outside after that had happened, and so it was my decision. But this time, I thought we were good. And so I just was really devastated and really angry, and never recovered, even though we did eventually decide to stay together. He wanted to, stay married. I just wanted to stay parents in the same house. I made him sleep on the couch for like 4 months. There's some pictures from Christmas that year where you see the little couch bed in the background. It's kind of sad. But I was done with the marriage, but I literally could not figure out how to live, you know, take care of two non-sleeping twins, work full-time, and then have my other daughter. My husband could not support himself. He decided to cut off ties with this other girl, but I didn't really, you know, believe him. And I thought, I don't even want to invest in trying to believe him anymore or trust. And so we stayed together, but in my mind, we were done. We never went to counseling. I made him go. That was a condition of him, of me not kicking him out. I made him go on his own, but then he just quit eventually. I didn't even care at that point because I knew I was done. I was just sort of waiting for a time that I could feel like I could survive. Either some circumstance would change, or I would get a different job, make a little more, or something. So
what was your head like? You had just had twins 8 months ago. Your body's totally transformed.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably trying to just get back.
Yeah.
Feel like a woman again.
Oh, yeah.
And you find out your husband's been sleeping with someone else.
Yeah. I felt completely hollow, literally, because I still had this extra skin on my belly. There was nothing in anymore, you know? And of course, I knew who this girl was who he'd been sleeping with, and she's gorgeous and skinny and yoga body, you know, stay-at-home mom. So she works out a lot, and I don't know, you know. So of course that just made me question. But there was a gift in that I was really, really angry, which took me over this hump. And it felt like justifiable anger, you know, not that I had been perfect, and not that I haven't made mistakes since or whatever. But I just was like, you know, this is not what I want anymore. And I know this. I can't get out now. But I'm done. And I think I stopped caring, really, about him and about the marriage. And I had stopped trusting, I think, a while ago. But I don't know. We had decided to make it go of it, so I kind of set that on the back burner. So fast forward a few months, we were still together, but things were bad, and there was a lot of... he was very angry, and no one on the outside saw that. He would punch walls. He would scream at me. Always wanted something from me that I couldn't give. And in my mind, you know, I'm like, I'm done here. I'm just here to survive until I can. I mean, it was more of a like financial. I didn't have anywhere to go. My family's somewhere else. They're in Montana. My family has been supportive of me, although they were just like, I don't know what's going on in your drama life. Let's see. So in about the fall of the next year. So this is about a year later after his affair, and I'm still just kind of going through the motions. The twins finally started sleeping through the night about 3 months before that, so they were literally a year and a half before they slept through the night. And I, all of a sudden, I just had so much energy, mental energy, physical energy, and I was like, holy crap, I am alive again. I forgot. I didn't even notice I wasn't alive. And there was this man at work who had always paid a lot of attention to me, and but he was married. So he separated from his wife. And on one day, after a particularly difficult time with Jamie, we were still together, but I think he'd done like a leaving in the middle of the night wall punching thing or something. I kind of just told him my story. I had no intentions of doing anything, and I was like, I'm not getting on that train wreck again. Which, you know, but we were open with each other, and that was that. So he started coming around a lot. I tried to set him up with some of my friends. I knew he was newly single, and he actually went on a date with my hairdresser, and then she just was like, I don't know more of you. So he came back and told me that she didn't want to go to dinner with him. And he was so disappointed. And I was like, ugh, trying to figure out how to get rid of him. Because I could tell he was interested. And I just didn't want to go there. I'm like, I don't want to do this. Anyway, I did go there. And at first I was just like, this is just to keep me sane. Because this person gets me. And we are so different. He studies film, and he was always in LA and lived this kind of fast life, and I don't want anything to do with that. And I just was like, he's sweet, but I know who I am, I know what I want, and that's not the life I want, and this is not going anywhere. This is fun. But it quickly turned into more, and I realized, oh my gosh, I fell in love with him. Again, still thinking, this is not going anywhere. We slept together, condom came off. You can guess what transpired from that, because apparently I'm the most fertile person on the face of the planet. It was literally the second time we were together. And I just remember even being like, oh, shit. I knew what was going to happen because this is what happens with me. So I took the morning after pill. And my hair got really curly. I have straight hair, and I remember being like, that is weird. Okay, but then I never had any of the side effects. I was a little like PMS feeling. And then I stayed PMS feeling, and then my breasts were swollen, and then I didn't get my period, and I was like, are you kidding me? So, took a test, positive, pregnancy. And I just literally couldn't even, so the twins are only a year and a half at this point. And I felt like I had barely physically recovered. And so, I called him, he's now my husband, I called him and just said, hey, pregnancy test is positive. He was just like, what? How is that possible? You took the thing. I was like, I don't know, but maybe it's just a false positive. Maybe it's all these hormones I took, blah, blah, blah. So we went to the doctor. I went to the midwife, who the last one who said I could push out the twins, the Welsh one. And she just was the one I got, and said, we're in trouble. And here's what happened. The baby's probably not even viable, right? And she's like, oh, no. She's like, my morning after pill baby is 15. So she said, oh, baby's just fine. And yes, you're pregnant. And she said, you know, and I asked her about abortion. She said, no. Or she said, here's the information, but just think about it. Just don't do anything too rash.
How far along were you?
I was like 6 weeks. So my husband, my now husband, was separated but not divorced yet from his wife, who was clinically depressed, which was 95% of why they were getting divorced. She hadn't worked forever. So basically, he'd already moved out. He was living somewhere else, but they were still together because of insurance. She wasn't working, or working very little, couldn't support herself. So he was paying for the house and insurance, and she was in the house. He was just living with a friend. He and I, we just talk. We're a mess. Everything's a mess. I'm still living at home. No, he doesn't. My husband doesn't know anything. I think I had told him at this point that I wanted a divorce, that I was at least getting out of the marriage, and we were going to figure it out. That was all I knew. I didn't tell him about the pregnancy. So we decide, my now husband and I decide, let's have this baby. Let's do it. And of course, there's a lot in between that, but I knew it was the right decision. We were both ecstatically happy. And he said, you know, I need to tell my wife, and we need to finish this off with the paperwork. And I was like, yeah, and I have a lot to do on this side, so let's go to it. So he told his wife not that there was a pregnancy, but that the divorce needed to be final, and he had met someone. And she committed suicide that night. So, keep in mind, she was clinically depressed, had been in an institution. I mean, later on, he found a bunch of, you know, notes and emails, and she'd been planning. She wrote to her friend, I've started planning my suicide in September. And just, you know, so depressed and so not in a good place. Anyway, that did not make it easier for anyone. Although Kevin, my husband, says he was so prepared for so long because she was always like threatening to kill herself. And that's, he actually had her committed that spring before because he was afraid she was going to do it. And so the week after she killed herself, I barely saw Kevin, and I was just like, what is going on? How can I have this baby? It's like I have blood on my hands, you know? This woman is dead because of the decision we made. Although, you know, I know that's not true. But in my hormonal state, and it was so fresh and so horrible. So, I don't know, there's so much else. But basically, they had the memorial service. Her family came down. Her older sister is named Dominique. She's French-Canadian from Quebec. And I saw pictures of her at this memorial service, and she just had this beauty about her. And no one blamed Kevin, my husband. Even her father, his ex-wife's father, was just like, you did as much as you could for as long as you could. We know it was only a matter of time. Everyone said this to him. No one blames him. And they're like, we just want you to be happy. We know this has been so hard. And so that came and went. And the day after Christmas, it became clear I needed to get out of my house. Eventually, I did tell my husband I was pregnant, and it was pretty ugly. So I told Maggie that I was gonna live somewhere else, but she wouldn't really notice because I came home at 5 a.m. and was there, and then I left at like 10, so I would go to Kevin's. So I stayed in a room in the guest room, with Kevin. She had committed suicide in their bedroom. She took pills. He owned this house. I literally had nowhere else to go. And so I never went in that room. I wouldn't even walk over the threshold. There was just such an oppressive darkness in that house. And I was just like, if we're gonna do this, you have to get rid of this house. I can't live here. I don't think you can live here. And so he did. He sold it. And we rented a house. And eventually, I finally moved. My parents came and moved me. And then eventually, I got, you know, we had to start completely over. I brought nothing with me. All my husband has all my furniture. So I had to get, you know, two cribs for the twins, a bed for Maggie, everything. Sheets, towels, like everything, which was so crazy. But eventually we got everything, and so they stay with me during the week and with their dad on the weekends. Took me forever to get paperwork done. So in July of 2014, I finally got divorced. And I was due August 5th. So it was the middle of July. Finally, it was final. Which I was sweating it. I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to have this baby and be married to someone else. And my it, also, I should make clear, my husband had had a vasectomy, and we had not been together. So there was no chance it could have been his. You know, of course, people asked and speculated, and probably Kevin's family was wondering, but I knew. We decided we were going to get married, and so we just waited a little bit to clear our heads, and his parents came to visit, my mom came, and then we were like, okay, let's do this on this Monday, and then we realized it was my old anniversary, so we couldn't get married on the same day, so we got married the next day, which was the due date, but, you know, she stayed put, and so we got married. I was gigantic. The pictures, we were at the JP, you know, the pictures of my girls were there, all three of the girls. The twins just look shell-shocked. Maggie, my oldest, they're not smiling. They're just like, what is happening? It was crazy. So then we had just like a pita jungle dinner. And that night I went into labor. My water broke.
The night of your wedding.
The night of the wedding. So at 2 a.m., kind of like my first birth, first delivery, water broke. And I was like, no, I just wanted one more night of sleep. So anyway, my husband has an issue. Well, he did have an insomnia issue, so he used to take sleeping pills. And so he had, of course, had taken a sleeping pill, and it was hard to wake him up. But he finally got up and headed to the hospital and got there. And I was kind of the annoying, like, oh, well, let's make sure you're in labor. And I was like, ugh. And they're like, okay, you are. I said, yes, I told you I was. This is not my first time around the block. But anyway, I got in there and I was like, yep, I want drugs. We're just doing it. And everything went really fast. As I was getting my epidural, my husband fainted. So that was kind of the dramatic thing about that birth. Probably because he had taken the sleeping pill and he hates needles. So I remember sitting on the edge of the bed, the needle is literally in my back, and I see him start to just tip over. And I reached for him, and they were like, no, don't move. And I remember being like, all right, I'm not supposed to be moving. And so, like, with one hand, I don't know, the nurse had her hands on some kind of something. And with the other hand, she caught him and was, like, screaming, I need some help in here. So these people rush in, smelling salts, whatever, put him on the floor. And I'm sitting there getting an epidural, watching. And I was like, really? But it was sort of another one of those moments, like, men are so stupid. He has one job, and that is he was sitting in a chair. I have a needle in my back, and I'm in labor, and he passes out. I just couldn't even believe it. And I don't mean men are stupid. Men are wonderful, but it just convinced me of how strong women are, just in general.
You know, I don't think they don't let men in the epidural room anymore.
They don't?
No.
I'm surprised they let him in there. They actually made him sit down.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah. Because, and now I see why.
And they don't let anyone, so maybe it's like, it doesn't matter if it's your mother or anyone. Yeah. Like, they might think that that's another thing they have to worry about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and now that's probably a good idea, because, yeah. Yeah. So, the rest of the labor went very quickly. I was in labor at 2, water broke at 2, she was born at 8 something. So that was very quick for me, because my first was 19 hours. Of torture, and this one was, before I got the epidural, was, I totally knew how to do it. I totally knew how to ride the wave of pain. I totally knew where to go, and it was beautiful. And it was horrible, but it was beautiful. And I got the Welsh midwife, and she was awesome and no nonsense, and was just like, eh. Push the thing out. She's just so dispassionate sometimes. But anyway, so baby, she's beautiful. And we decided to name her Dominique, which is the sister of his former wife. That sounds weird, but I met Dominique, and She has the most beautiful soul. And it was sort of a way to bring things full circle and acknowledge that it felt like there was sort of an energetic swap. You know, Dominique has said her sister was like a broken vase. Just there was always something wrong, even from when she was a little girl. And she always struggled and never really wanted to be on the earth. And so when she decided to leave the earth, this creature, we decided to keep this other life on the earth. So that was sort of, that's kind of how we got through those first weeks, for sure. And we couldn't decide on names forever. And my husband is Jewish, you know, from Detroit. Was raised in a born-again household in rural Montana. And I'm just sort of nothing now. But we're from these crazy different cultures, you know, and we would come up with a name and Kevin would tell his mom and she'd say, well, that's not Jewish. And I was like, why does it have to be Jewish? And then, you know, so then when I told my mom, Dominique, she's like, what's Dominique? What? That's not, we're not French. And so it's so bizarre. So it was just our own thing and it was our own decision and she just is. That is who she is. That's who the baby is. And my husband calls her Baby Doe, which is kind of horrible, but it stuck. And so everyone calls her Baby Doe. Anyway, so that is kind of the full circle of how four girls came to be members of this planet. And none of them were easy, and birth is not easy. But now, and I was just thinking again today how, you know, they start from nothing, from two people being together, and then they turn into people. It's just, I can't fathom it sometimes, but that's my story.
Wow. I'm going to ask for even more information. Okay. So when you were pregnant, can you talk about that pregnancy at all? Like, did you gain a lot of weight? Were you sick a lot?
No. Well, at the beginning, I felt, at the beginning of this last pregnancy, I felt very sick and very tired. And I don't think I actually threw up at all. It was that general feeling. Is it malaise? I don't even know how to say it. It's a French word. But, I was going back and forth between houses. And I just remember thinking, I just can't do this. What am I doing? You know, this is horrible. And I remember I would sleep in my office every day for at least 15 minutes. I would just set my phone alarm. And then there was a couple times when I got so sleepy on the way in, I took a nap in the parking garage before I pulled my car in and I had to sleep. It was horrible. And I remember thinking, I'm homeless. And, you know, living in a house, actually not homeless, but we're with the soul of a dead woman and pregnant, and I'm sleeping in the parking garage. It was so desperate and so horrible. And then that finally went away and kind of gave way to that, the second trimester, like, relief. I wasn't sick anymore. And the pregnancy was fine. It was a good, wasn't an easy pregnancy like my first one. And I think after the twins too, everything was just hurt more and it was already not in great shape. So, I couldn't do a whole lot, but I mean, I was fine and I felt fine. Didn't have any issues.
Did you gain as much weight as with the first one?
No, I think I only gained like 35 pounds. Probably, I think my first one too, I wasn't underweight, but I was very trim and it didn't hurt me to have a little more padding. But so with this last one, you know, I had the extra that I had never lost from the twins and I just didn't need. I never kept track of my weight other than to think, oh, okay, here's another however many pounds. I was never worried about it. My doctors, midwives, no one said a thing ever about it, which was nice because I know some women who, either religiously kept on top of it, or their doctors, you know, would not allow them to gain. I just think it's crazy. I know, you know, 50 years ago, that was the case. They thought that it was really bad for both mom and baby to gain more than 25 pounds or something. And then moms would, like, not eat. Or I just could not even believe the things people did to themselves. So, no, I just 35 pounds. And funny, so I gained the least with this baby and had the hardest time losing it afterwards. I mean, I'm fine. I'm not like super overweight, but I could still lose about 10 pounds.
You also, at this point, you're older and you have three children already.
Yes. Yeah. I turned 40 and I have three children, including twins who were two at the time.
So you probably don't have a lot of me time.
Yeah. There's no me time. Our house is crazy. It's great. My ex and I are good friends, which I could not see coming, you know, even a year ago. But he actually babysits every day because he gets off an hour earlier. So he relieves the babysitter. She leaves. And so he babysits our baby, who's not his. And then the twins. And then the seven-year-old. And so we get home. And sometimes we all have dinner together. We actually even all went on vacation sort of together. The summer, I mean, we all went to Montana, left the kids with my family and with Jamie, and then we went on our honeymoon a year later. So so it's this weird reality show-ish life, and I'm so relieved to have a drama-less existence, because it seemed like forever there was something crazy happening. And so, yeah, I really need to write all this down, but only little pieces have made it into words so far.
So. No, it's incredibly intense. And it is amazing that your first husband and you are friendly now. I mean, there seemed like there were times where maybe, was when you told him you were pregnant, was he like violent? Were you scared or anything? Or was it not like that?
During our marriage, yes, there were times he was violent and I was afraid. And a couple times I actually left, and stayed somewhere else for a period of time because of that. When I told him I was pregnant, there was none of that. His initial reaction was he actually gave me a hug. And he's like, is it mine? Even though there was no way it could have been. I said, no, it's really not. Or he said, is there any chance it could be mine? And I said, no. You remember you had a vasectomy. And we weren't together, like, you know, this last little bit. And so, no, in between, as he got used to the idea, there were some outbursts of anger. And that was partially why I decided, okay, just I need to move out now, even though I don't have a place to go and have to live in this crazy house and whatever. So because there was some not good stuff. But
how were the kids during all of this? Did they meet, is it Kevin?
Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Did they like him?
Yeah, they love him. Maggie, let's see, was five at the time, five or six. And I have to give my ex credit. He helped explain, like, mommy and daddy have decided to not be married. Mommy has a friend she's going to live with. And then a couple of weeks later, oh, mommy has a boyfriend and they're going to have a baby. So it was kind of in her brain at the time. I don't think she was really conscious of the how condensed this time was. Although I think there was a lot of processing that she did later because she had a really hard time. Mostly she missed her dad when she was at my house. And but she loved Kevin and immediately took to him, and he is, I don't know why, he's 46 now. He was 45 at the time. He'd never had children, but now, you know, he has four girls and he's such a natural father, which is amazing, and just took to it really naturally. I mean, there have been days, you know, but the girls call him Kev. I don't know where that started. So the other day, Annika, one of the twins, was saying, I love my mommy, and I love my daddy, and I love my Kev-Kev, and I love my sisters. And it was so great, because they don't remember. The twins do not remember at all. Before Kevin, they don't remember me living at the other house. We call it mommy's house and daddy's house. It's totally fine with them. This is reality to them. But Maggie does remember. She's my oldest, and she... But she's definitely made peace with it, and I think it helps just this crazy weird arrangement that we have, where there's no tension. There was, of course, at the beginning, which was probably why it was so horrible. But yeah, it's pretty ideal. So,
when did you guys get a new place, a new house, or a new?
So we're renting, and right after he sold. Kevin sold this, his other house. We just started looking for a place to rent, and we found this 4-bedroom monstrosity in East Mesa. And that's where we are, which is literally 2 miles from my old house, which is where Jamie lives. And I just signed the house over to him. I mean, I didn't want anything. I just wanted to be done. I just wanted to be out. And so now I'm like, oh, I probably could have held out for something. But I'm still glad the way everything worked out. So that I know there's a saying, it's better to eat bread in peace than cake in turmoil. And I tell myself that all the time. I forget, Slovakian proverb or something. But it's not that important to me. And I'm really glad about the way everything came out.
That's a great ending. That's excellent. Okay. I think we'll stop
there. Okay.